Good morning. That's good. I like that audience participation here, you know. Good deal. Who hadn't said good morning? Okay, everybody said good morning. Well, listen, we'll get right into this thing. For those of you that were here the last time I talked about the power of the tongue, how the tongue was powerful in our body. Okay? Well, I'm going to kind of follow that up with another thing that's powerful in our own body. I know last time I talked, Dale said the Spirit of God is powerful in us, you know, which it is, you know, and we rely upon the Spirit of God. But in our natural bodies, we have the power of the tongue, which creates good or bad. And then we have our mind, which is very powerful, you know. It can either make us or break us. You know, many people are, they're just beat down because of their mind, what they're thinking. The Word of God says, as a man thinketh in his heart, or woman, as a man or woman thinketh in his heart or her heart, so is he. So what are we thinking, you know? Are we thinking that we're poor? Are we thinking, you know, I'm not doing this on a financial thing, okay? Or, you know, the Israelites, the spies, said they were grasshoppers in their own sight. That's what they thought. That's what they saw, and that's what they spoke, okay? And that's what they were in their own sight. Those 10 spies plus everybody else, other than Caleb and Joshua, didn't make it into the promised land because of what they were thinking. So my thinking is, what I want to talk to you guys about is, what are we thinking? Are we thinking the right things, or are we thinking the wrong things? Because the wrong things will get us in trouble. They'll lead us down the wrong path. And they'll eventually destroy us one way or the other. Now, are we thinking good things? You know, are we thinking godly things? You know, whenever I was thinking about putting this thing together, I was thinking that every one of us is born into this world, in the fallen world. It's, you know, granted Jesus paid the price, but we're coming into this thing in the sin nature and everything else. And, you know, basically we're brought up, even if in a Christian home, you know, we're brought up with the surroundings of the world, thoughts of the things around the world, influences of the world, and things like that. Until Gary or everybody else makes that quality decision, and it doesn't matter how old you are to do that. You can be 6, 8, 10, 12, 50, 40, 30, in my 20s. Until we make that quality decision to accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, you know, we're going to be doing exactly what we grew up in. We're going to be doing what we've been trained in. And I put down, we are all born in this same fallen world. Until we accept Jesus Christ, we are doing the things of the world. And we were learning how to be good at what we were, sinners. To be honest with you, that's exactly what we were. Until we accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, we were learning how to be, we were doing, falling in that same category of being sinners. Now, once we've accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then things will change. I'll get ahead of myself in just a minute. Let me stop. Things will change, but it won't be automatic. It's going to be work on our part to change from the past to today forward. You know, it says, and when we accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, We have 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, which has accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Plain and simple. This is what the Word of God says. You know, everything from that day in the past is passed away in God's sight. It's not always passed away in our thoughts or things like that. But that's where the battle, that's what we're talking about. Behold, all things are become new. Verse 18 says, and all things which become new are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we're ambassadors. Man, we've gone from being sinners to low scum on the earth to ambassadors. Man, that's exciting. Now, as we, you know, I won't get into that. That's a different story. But that's exciting. Ambassadors from scum. You know, now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be you reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay? Let's stop a minute. He made it possible for us to come into the earth, to the family of God. He made it possible for us to be reconciled to the Heavenly Father. He made it possible that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now, what we do with that is totally left up to each and every one of us. You know? Just like Pastor said last week, he said, give us a check for $1 million. If we don't cash it in, sitting there is not helping us none. But as we do the things that we need to do to make sure that we're on the right path, then things work a whole lot better for us. I got a note down here that says, Jesus provided for us all things. In Colossians 1, verse 12, sorry about that, it says, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be able to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom, which is in Jesus, we have redemption through the blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. He says, he hath. Hath means already done. See, he's made the provision for each and every one of us. Again, I'm going to probably say this multiple times, but what are we doing with that? What are we doing on our part? This is not, I'm telling you, buddy, and every one of you know this for a fact. This Christian life is not easy. It'd be a whole lot easier just to go along with the crowd, hate everybody, talk crap about everybody. It'd be real easy just to follow in that, but that's what we're not called to do, okay? This is in Colossians 2, verse 9. It says, for in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Let me make sure. And we are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of flesh by circumcision of Christ, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in sins, because you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're no longer, you know, you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And you, being dead in your sins, and in this uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together and made with him, he made an open show of them triumphing over it in it. As you all know, that when Jesus went to the cross, that's what he did. He nailed all that stuff to the cross. And his words were, it is finished. It is finished. What is finished? The situation of him having, of it being to the point where we're having to fight for our righteousness, because it's already been provided for us. He's provided all things for us, and we have got to understand that, you know. With all that being said, or what I've said, all that, my question or my statement to everybody is, with the provisions that Jesus made for us, does it come automatic to us? Does the things that God himself provided for us come automatically to us? It's available, but does it come to us? Yes, no, maybe? I'm waiting. What do you think? Does it come automatically to us? The answer is absolutely not. Not. Because if it all came up to us, then everybody that there wouldn't be any question about if you want to be a Christian or not. You know? Everybody would see everything happening changed like that, and rose better, you know, peaches and cream and all that kind of stuff. Everybody want to be that way. But it doesn't come that way. It doesn't come that way. It's a fight on our part to do what God's called us to do and to be a partaker of what he's given us. You know, the righteousness is available to us. The right standing is available to us. Everything that Jesus has provided for us is available to us. But it doesn't automatically come to us. So what do we have to do? We have to do our part. Okay? And I'm telling you, folks, that is not, that's not, sometimes that's not easy. sometimes it's a lot easier to just say, forget this mess. And do what Peter said. I'm going back. You know, that's not the case. We don't want to do that. We don't want to go back to the, because each and every one of us, I think every one of us has been born again for a little while. We know and understand the blessings and of being a Christian versus being out in the world, you know. So what does it take on our part? It takes warfare, for sure. It takes diligence on our part. It takes being willing to do what is necessary. And what I'm talking about is in Romans 12. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Second one is, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, in that reading right there, it says, renew your mind. So, that's what we're talking about. Our mind is a force you know, that's so strong. Again, it can break us or make us. Our minds are what we think about, you know, on a constant basis. You know, we are bombarded way before we become a born-again Christian, but we're bombarded with all kind of thoughts. You know, good, bad, negative, positive. Good things about people, bad things about people. We're bombarded with them. But it says that we're supposed to do our part to renew our mind. So, okay, my question is to all of you guys, all y'all, is how do we renew our mind? That is going to be the answer for you guys. How do we renew our mind? I'm listening. And how do you do that? Okay. Okay, for what those, I was, Jim's not here, but last time I taught, he said, please repeat what everybody else says so some people can hear. Brother George said, by the Word of God, by reading the Word of God, and what? By studying the Word of God. So we're going to renew our minds by reading the Word of God, studying the Word of God, and then speaking the Word of God. Because if we're speaking, if we're looking at this thing here, reading it, and then we're speaking the junk that's going on, guess what's going to happen? Our minds are not going to be renewed. Okay? Hang on a minute. I'm getting my act together here. My phone wants to do its own thing sometimes. Now, talking about warfare, talking about it's not easy. Okay, let me ask you a question. This is me. I want to ask you guys a question. Is it easy for you guys just to think good things? Is it? Our natural minds, our natural things want to go to the negative part most of the time until we develop the thing of renewing our mind. And even at that point, man, I still have struggles. I've been born again for over 50 years. You know, I still have struggles. And if I have struggles, maybe I'm different than everybody else. But it's like, man, but you know, whenever you think about it, what have I done? I've allowed myself to get lazy. I've allowed myself to not get in the Word of God. I've allowed myself to think on negative things. Those are things that I've allowed. The Word of God says, let the peace of God dwell in you richly. And the Word of God says that He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon Him. So if our minds are out wandering around and not stayed upon Him, or my mind, let me just put it that way. If my mind is not stayed upon Him, then that bombardment is going to take place and take over. As I said before, it's truly not easy, and it's definitely is warfare. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. Sometimes we yield to that. But mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to obedience to Christ, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience with your obedience is fulfilled. Okay, let's break this down real quick. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds. Okay. So the next one says, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Taking those two scriptures right there, let's break it down. Okay? So we know that we have armor of God, honestly, you know, in Ephesians 6. But it says, for our weapons are not of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty pulling down the strongholds. How do we do that? Okay? How do we pull down strongholds? How do we cast down imaginations? How do we let our minds be stayed upon Jesus? How do we do that? I'm going to call on people if they don't start answering me. You know. Tell me again, say that again. Steve says, asking God for his strength. How else? By the word? Go into more detail about that, brother. Did everybody hear that? I know Dale doesn't want the microphone in his hands, but he needs it so because he has lots to say. You know, so maybe, okay, it's right. So, okay, let me throw this thing out there. Casting down imaginations. What would that be to you guys? What do, you know, we imagine, we have thoughts, and they're called imaginations and stuff like that. How do we do that? You know, darkness versus darkness, you know, light overcomes. How do we cast down those imaginations? I mean, we're, you know, sometimes we're just flooded. So what do we do? Tell me how I can cast down imaginations. Tell me. Satan is. He So what I guess what I'm hearing is when we cast down imaginations, we just say, okay, just say hate. Hate comes across my mind like you're talking about. The imagination of hating somebody, saying, okay, I cast that down. But we got to replace that with something that God has said. What has God said about that situation? What has God said about, you know, loving your brother? What has God said? But see, the thing about it is, it's on us. It's not only on the pastor. It's on us. He can get up here and share all good words all the time. All of us people, all the ones that's sharing Sunday school can share good words. But if Gary and each and every one of us don't take it to heart and start doing something about it, we're going to lose ground. Red, I've gotten down here. We have thoughts bombarding us on a regular basis. You know, some of the thoughts that come through my brain, I can't say for yours because I don't know your brain, but sometimes I can tell you that some of the thoughts that come through my mind is things of the past. You know, and then not only the thought is there, but that movie screen starts playing, you know, in front of us. You know, like we see these things, these imaginations, you know, of what we've done, what we haven't done, what we said, what we hadn't said. You know, that screen sometimes gets big as that wall back there in my mind. But go ahead, Dell. I can't hear you. Amen. Dale said, the imaginations, what we need to do is go back to the Word of God, to truth. That's in a nutshell. You know, I know you said a whole bunch more, but I sure wish you would let me bring the mic to you. It says, some of these are our past. Some of them is what he's talking about. These are some things I wrote down. Some of the thoughts that come to people, to me, other people, are our mistakes. Some of them are fears about what's going to happen. What's going to happen today? What's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen 5 years from now? Some of those things, those imaginations can grow bigger and bigger. But again, like he said, go back to the Word of God. Get that ingrained in us. So casting all your cares over on him, for he cares for us. If we're concerned about tomorrow, you know, if we're in fear about something else, as the Word of God says, perfect love casts out fear. So we've got to learn how to overcome those thoughts in our minds and not let them sink in, not let them take root, you know, and, you know, pluck them up, you know, pluck them up and throw them away. That's what we got to do. And I'm telling you, maybe it's easier for you guys, but I'm still learning. It says we must replace these thoughts immediately, and not let them take root. But it comes back to having the Word of God in us so we can replace them. Man, it all comes back to relationship. Our relationship with Lord Jesus Christ. Knowing that he's provided for all things for us, knowing that we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And as George has said, as Dale has said, when those thoughts have come up at us, like our negative stuff, what we did in the past, that is gone. Bless God. My past is gone. You know, even yesterday's past, even yesterday's whatever it is, that's behind me. What we got today is today, looking forward. And today, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am the ambassador of God. I am a holy nation. I am a peculiar person for sure, you know. But that's who I am. I am who God says I am, not what devil or thoughts or anything like that tries to play upon me. Let me, we got to wrap it up. Sure, I've been waiting on people to say something. Oh, wait a minute. Then let me back up then. You want the mic? Okay. Go ahead, talk up.
As a Christian, you can only operate in your field of knowledge. What I know about the scriptures is what I can live in. I don't judge another Christian for what he does. I know I couldn't do that and feel like I was righteous. But that don't, I'm not judging him. I'm living within my knowledge.
Right.
I know what's right and wrong for me, according to the scripture.
Right.
And to renew your mind daily means you reinforce that all the time. And we cannot live outside of our knowledge. I can't go fly a jet airplane because I don't know nothing about it.
Right. Exactly right.
I want to live. God said we can live without worry. We can live without fear. We don't have to live in poverty. We don't have to be in bad health all the time. We don't have to suffer the things of this world. Now, I know we age and things happen. I'm not saying that, but I'm not fearful of what's going to happen tomorrow.
Right. Amen.
You're going to do the best you can, as much as you can, and you're going to live in peace. You're not going to hate people. If you do, you're not going to be happy. You're going to know it's not right, and that's the Holy Spirit that helps us grow every day. It's a continual process.
Oh, yeah. Right. Amen. Exactly right.
Now, I asked my 95-year-old brother how he's doing the other day, and he said, well, I haven't had a good week. He ate some things that disagreed with him, whatever, but he never said, I'm in trouble or I'm sick, I've got this or that. They did a scan to see if there's anything in the stomach, I think. He never admonished the fact that he could have had something terribly wrong with him.
Amen.
And I'm going to leave it at that.
Amen.
It doesn't matter what the doctor says. It doesn't matter what somebody else says. He lives on what God's word says.
Amen.
In his eyes, his length of his days is 120. It's not 3 score 10. Now, the Bible is 3 score 10. It was stated. But you know where that was coming from. God's word. That's 3 score 10. They
Amen. Right. That's right.
And you're going to lead people one way or the other. But I want to be found faithful enough. He lived according to God's word and best in him.
Amen.
I want to know enough to make sure that I'm on the right path.
Amen.
The only way I know I can fly this plane is to take enough training to know what to do. It's what Sunday school is about.
No, it's not.
Heck,
those people are liars. Amen. That's right. Okay. Well, one other thing I want to say about this, about renewing the mind, casting out imaginations. And again, we come back to the whole thing has been said. It's not an easy thing to move on and do the right thing. We've got to do what God's word says. It's relationship. It says Ephesians 4. 6-9. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, we're going to get down to the finally, brethren. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. What things are we supposed to think on? The things he just said. The things that are good, pure, and perfect. Those things which we have both learned and received and heard and seen, this is Paul talking about, in me, do. And the God of peace shall be with you. That's it. Finally, brethren, you think on these things, the peace of God will be there. You think on the crummy things, and we won't have peace. We won't have peace. I just want to read this real quick in the Amplified. And then we're going to close up real quick. Amplified Philippians 4:6-9. Do not fret or have any anxiety about anything, but in every circumstance and in everything, by prayer, petition, definite request, with thanksgivings, continue to make your wants known to God, and God's peace shall be yours. That tranquil state of a soul assured of its salvation through Christ. And so fearing nothing from God and being content with this earthly lot of whatever sort that is, that peace which transcends all understanding shall garrison and mount guard over your hearts and mind Christ and minds in Christ Jesus. For the rest, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is worthy of reverence and honorable and seemingly, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely and lovable, whatever is kind and winsome and gracious, if there is any virtue and excellence, if there is anything worth of praise, think on and weigh and take account of these things. Fix your minds on them. Practice what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, and model your way of living, and the God of peace, of untroubled, undisturbed well-being will be with you. Amen. That's it, folks. You know, appreciate you guys hanging in there with me. We're going to end the service, this thing here, and we're going to hang out. We got 1 minute if anybody wants to make any kind of comment. Going once, going twice. Amen. Amen. Well, gang, hope this helps you guys think about these things through the week, through the day, whatever time frame. Renew our mind. Renew our mind. Cast down those imaginations. You know, that's what this whole thing is about, casting down imaginations and letting our mind be on Christ Jesus instead of on the circumstances and all the other stuff. Amen. Go on. Let's go.